The New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And friends, as I read this passage, pay close attention to the words. This is not an easy passage to hear. It is not easy to listen to these words of Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right. An unusual part of this judgment story is the way those on the left try to excuse themselves on the grounds that they had no opportunity to show kindness to Jesus. And they ask in a tone of injured innocence, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in prison or lonely or naked or sick and did not help you? If you didn't do it unto the least of these, you didn't do it unto me either," Jesus said. We understand what Jesus is saying. So what can we take from this story to help us be more like Jesus, to put Christ first in all things? What are we told here about the future of Christ's church? Out of this story comes a word for Christ's church. This is what Christ wants from you as a congregation. Look first at the distinction between the sheep and the goats. In the countryside, the sheep and the goats mingled all day long together. At night, they were often separated because the sheep tolerated the cooler air, but the goats had to be herded together for warmth. And Jesus' listeners understood the reality of separation. They saw it every day. So He uses this scene to teach them. And He took this common activity of the shepherd and applied a deep symbolism to it. There are no gray areas in this story for His listeners. There's no technicolor video in these verses. They understood in black and white what Jesus was saying. Persons fall into two classes, sheep and goats. The sheep, identified as the righteous, are given the right hand, which is the place of honor. The goats are not so fortunate. Jesus is saying that the righteous person provides persons in need with simple acts of kindness. You get that? In 1921, Lewis Laws became the warden at Sing Sing Prison. No prison had the infamous reputation that Sing Sing had during that time. No prison was tougher than Sing Sing. However, when Warden Lewis retired some 20 years later, that prison had become a humanitarian example of caring for people. Those who studied the system said credit for the change belonged to Lewis, but when Lewis was asked about how he transformed Sing Sing into this troubled, ugly place, he said he owed it all to his wonderful wife, Catherine, who was buried just outside the prison walls. Catherine Laws was a young mother with three small children when her husband became the warden of Sing Sing. Everybody warned her from the beginning that she should never step foot inside that prison, but that didn't stop her. When the first prison basketball game was held, she went, walking into the gym with her three small children, beautiful kids that she set right in the middle of the stands, in the middle of the inmates. Her attitude was, "My husband and I came here to take care of these men, and I believe they will take care of me. I do not worry." She insisted on being acquainted with them and their records. She had discovered one convicted murderer who was blind, so she paid him a visit. She says, "Do you read Braille?" He said, "What is Braille?" She taught him how to read Braille, and years later, he would weep for her. Later, she found a deaf mute in prison, and she went to school to learn how to use sign language. Many said that Catherine Laws was the body of Jesus that came alive again in Sing Sing from 1921 to 1937. Then Catherine Laws was killed in a car accident. The next morning, Lewis Laws, the warden, did not come to work, so the acting warden took his place. And almost instantly, the prison knew something was wrong. The following day, her body was resting in a casket in her home, some three-quarters of a mile from the prison. As the acting warden took his morning walk, he was surprised to see this throng of inmates at the gate. They were gathered like a herd of animals. He came closer and noticed the tears of grief and sadness. And he knew how much they loved Catherine. So he turned and faced the men. "All right, men, you can go. Just be sure and check in tonight." Then he opened the gate and the parade of criminals walked without a guard 3 miles to the Laws' home to pay their final respects to Catherine Laws. And that night, every one of them checked back in. Every one. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. All we have been given, we are to share with other people, especially those in need. Our time, our energy, our resources, our very presence. If we do not take the opportunity, we have to be a blessing. And instead, if we squander and hoard these for ourselves, Jesus says they will eventually be taken from us. So if you're holding on to your resources, if you're holding on to your time and energy, holding on to your compassion for someone else, it's going to slip through your fingers because Jesus is going to take it away. My purpose this morning is to challenge each of us in the name of Jesus Christ to intentionally give our time and our energy and our resources to persons in need. I do not think Jesus is saying that we'll be saved by kind acts to other people. I think he wants us to know that our faith in him is genuine. Our faith, without exception, will display itself in acts of kindness to other people, regardless of who they are. We will not likely impact the lives of others like Catherine Lewis did. But there are sick persons out there. And they are in here. And there are hungry persons out there, as well as prisoners and those thirsty for a kind word. And there are children without clothes and the homeless without blankets and strangers without friends. 15,000 kids will starve to death today, this hour, while we are here. 15,000 every hour around the world. Children close their eyes and die in their mother's arms. We don't have to go to Africa to see that. There are persons in need all over this Treasure Valley area. Wherever you go, wherever you work, wherever you play, there are persons in need. Some of them just need a kind word. And according to our Lord, all of these in need have the same name, Jesus. There's a small neighborhood nestled just below the bridge connecting Georgia and South Carolina. It's a little neighborhood called Yamacraw. It is a very poor black neighborhood. When I served as president of the board of the first hospice in America, other than the one established by Kubler-Ross in Connecticut, we had a client that lived in Yamacraw. Her name was Lizzie. She was in her 80s and she was dying of cancer. She wanted to die in her home, so we had arranged for her to stay there. One of our volunteers would call Lizzie every day to make sure she was okay. 83, 84 years old. No bigger than my little finger. I received a call one morning from the hospice director. She informed me that Lizzie had not answered her phone that morning when the volunteer called to seek to check up on her. So the director asked me to drive to Lizzie's little one-room shack in Yamacraw and find out if anything was wrong. And I always took someone with me when I made that kind of visit. That morning, I called Mary and telling her I would pick her up in 20 minutes. What you need to know about Mary, who was riding with me, was that she did not enjoy being with black people at all. She nurtured a deep and mean prejudice toward people of color. She was nervous and more than a little angry with me. We drove to Lizzie's little shack of a house. And as I drove, Mary said, "I don't like black people. You know that, Dr. Wood." And I said, "Yes, I know. But Mary, she's dying of cancer. And she'll smell when we get there," she said. "I'm not going to go with you willingly." We arrived at Lizzie's little house, only to find the front door locked and no sign of life. We looked in the front window, and we could see Lizzie laying on the floor back in a hallway, clad only in one diaper, and her shriveled little black body curled up in like a fetus. I told Mary to wait there while I went to my car to get my cell phone to call the police so they could let us in. It took me a few minutes, and when I got back, I discovered that Mary had taken her shoe and broken the window and climbed in. I kicked in the front door and raced down to that little hallway. There I found Mary had pulled a sheet off the bed and had lifted Lizzie into a sitting position and wrapped a blanket around her, the sheet around her. She was holding Lizzie in her arms, rocking and saying to her, "It's okay, Lizzie. It's okay." Jesus loves you, and so do I. Remember, my friends, everyone you meet in need is named Jesus. And my prayer is that Christ Church will become known as the church that cares for the least of these. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.